All right, let's get everybody back. Come on with it. Pepsi boy. Cool. Alrighty. If you just pray real quick, get this party started the right way. Yes, awesome, you too. Cool, let's pray. God, I just thank you for today, Lord, and just the things that you got to say to us. Lord, I really believe that knowing you better, God, is something that is good. Lord, I think that we could all stand to know you a lot better, and I just pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, and give us a heart, God, that is quick to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, hi. Welcome. Hi. It's not often that I speak standing up lately, so we'll see how it goes with where the hands go and stuff. But anyway, I just want to read 2 Peter 1:3. It's on your outline. It says, "As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness." Just think about that, what it means to know Jesus, and even more to know him better. excuse me. But I was thinking about it, and there's a lot of different ways that we know Jesus. There's a lot of different ways that we can get to know him better as we go along in our walks with God. And I just wanted to like list off a bunch of the ones that I kind of thought about. We could see Jesus, know Jesus in nature, through signs, bumper stickers, books, anything written on the bathroom wall sometimes. Maybe not anything, but sometimes. Billboards, table tents like we have that we'll put out throughout the weeks. Different movies, yes, television. You can know Jesus through that. Artwork, greeting cards, music, teachings like the one you're hearing today. And then there's some obvious ones like the Holy Spirit, the Bible. And then another one that I think is really important is other people. I think that the more that we kind of go throughout our days as Christians, like it's people that are going to have the most influence, I think, in us. And generally, it's going to be the people that are closest to us. Matthew 5, 14 and 15 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all." And basically, this verse is saying that we as Christians should allow God to shine through us and not be ashamed of what he has done or is doing in our life right now. So today I want to talk about some people in my life who have impacted me and helped me to know Jesus. And you know, there are tons of people in my life that represent Christ to me. And you know, I could list off a lot of different people. You know, I could tell you about people like the pastor of my old church, Alan Monfils. Before I came here as a freshman, is this little church called Blue Ridge Baptist Church. I could tell you about guys like J.R. Woodward, the founder of NLCF, the guy who started it all here. People like Todd, who's impacted me since I was a freshman. I mean, we still get together once a week. And guys like Ryan, who, I mean, he's a huge visionary. We work together. Just has a great heart for the Lord. But I don't want to tell you about all these people. No offense to y'all. But I'm doing this on purpose, basically, because these are the guys that are in full-time ministry. You know, it's their job to help you know Jesus better. So I want to tell you about some of the people in my life who Todd referred to as the average Joes. I like the way you put that. Really kind of spoke to me a lot. You know these types of people. They're the ones who, when you interact with them on a regular basis, it's like God just, you see God and you feel like you just know Jesus better just by knowing them. And I'm sure that we all have people like this in our lives. And I do. And I'm just going to share with you about a couple of them. I forgot my clicker. I like having the power. This is Tom Four. None of y'all probably know this guy. But Tom is the first person that I met at Blue Ridge Baptist Church. That's the church where I first accepted Christ. I walked in the door, and he walked up to me and shook my hand. And Tom, he's a really cool guy. He really loves the Lord. He teaches Sunday school. He coaches Pee Wee football. He is chairman of the Board of Supervisors for Amherst County. He's a Gideon, you know, those guys that pass out the Bibles, leave them in hotels, stuff like that. He's just an all-around good guy. He's really cool. It's really funny. Like, this is the kind of guy that if you have, like, 3 minutes to spare, you're kind of in a rush, he'll talk to you about God for five. Like, he just won't like, really shut up, which is cool. You know, you need guys like that who are anxious to tell you about what the Lord's doing. And Tom, he always has something to say when I see him. He has a great knowledge of God's word, and he takes every opportunity that he can to tell you what God is speaking in his life and then what he wants to speak into yours. And even when I called him to get this picture, which isn't a very good one, I apologize, but he talked to me nonstop for about 10 minutes telling me about God's goodness before I could even get a word in about needing a picture. And so when I think of Tom, I think about Jesus and how he had a teaching spirit. You know, Tom is always telling me something, always teaching me something, always giving me like a 30-second gospel presentation. It's just really cool. And Jesus was the same way. Like, he had a teaching spirit. He wanted to teach those around him more about the kingdom of God. It reminds me of a good example of this for Jesus is Matthew 13. This is the story where Jesus was telling about the farmer who was scattering seed. And it basically, the seed fell on different places. You know, it fell on like the footpath, which is like this beaten down kind of path, like people have been treading on all day. And so things don't really sink into it all that well. And then the birds came by and they ate the seeds. And then he goes on to say about how some of the seeds fell on shallow soil and there was this underlying rock. And because of that rock, the roots couldn't get any nourishment. And so they didn't really grow all that well. And then some of the seeds fell on a thorny kind of ground. And this wasn't good either because when the plant grew up, it got choked out by the thorns. And so it didn't have much room to grow. But then some of the seed fell on fertile soil, which produced about 100 times more than what was planted. And this is cool. Like, Jesus told a lot of stories like this, and he was saying this is how the message is when it goes out to people. Some people are going to receive it well. Some people aren't going to receive it well. And, you know, Jesus' disciples, they came up to him and said, well, Jesus, why do you talk like that? Like, why do you speak in such a way? And, like, really, what is it that you meant? And he just really took the time to explain to them about how this is what it means, like when you're preaching the gospel and you're telling other people about me, these are different ways that people receive it. And Tom is the same way. He's always telling me about God and showing me who God is. And then if I'm like, what in the world are you talking about it? He'll take the time to explain it to me. So this is really cool. Like, he has just a great heart of teaching. The next guy I want to talk to you about is Josh Sexton. This is Josh. I think this is before he moved to Kentucky. He went here to Radford. I got a couple pictures of him. This is him and his wife, Ashley, on their honeymoon in Alaska. Don't they look excited? I think it was raining while they were there on a cruise ship pretty well. But this is a bunch of us at McAfee's Knob. Aaron Garland, me, his wife, and then Josh. So Josh is a really cool guy. I love this guy. He was one of the first people I met here at NLCF. Josh and I, we have this big brother, little brother complex, where it's like we always used to argue for fun, and he used to like beat the snot out of me and different things like this. And he's the guy who got me interested in sound team, you know, setting all this stuff up. And then back then, we used to have church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and after teardown, we would always go over to his place and have dinner. And so he just was a really hospitable guy. I was the best man at his wedding. He's going to be one of the groomsmen in our wedding. And I even lived with him for a little while during the summer. Right now, he's living in Kentucky, getting his master's degree in geology in groundwater remediation. That's some interesting stuff there. Amen, that's right. But anyway, Josh is somebody who I consider to have a lot of wisdom. He really knows a lot. He's one of those guys that if I need advice on something, I can go up to him at pretty much any time, and he'll genuinely have something to say that's, you know, it's going to impact me in a positive way. I mean, I can think of countless times when I walk up to Josh and be like, hey, man, can we talk for a bit? We go sit over a cup of coffee and talk about things like God, life, and women. And today we still talk about God, life, and women and kind of what's going on with that. And that's just really cool. And there's a lot of different things I appreciate about God. I appreciate a lot of things about God. But there's a lot of things I appreciate about Josh. One is that Josh is a straight shooter. He's going to tell you like it is, and he's going to give you his honest opinion. Josh is a very disciplined guy. He's disciplined with his time, his finances, and his life circumstances. And what I mean by that is that Josh really does not like Kentucky all that much, where he lives right now. But yet he stays there. He's disciplined because he knows that he's got to finish his grad school work and get it done. Josh is a very good listener. He will take the time to hear what you have to say and not just shoot off from the mouth. Now, this isn't the way Josh always used to be, I have to tell you. He used to be like a really hot-headed kind of guy, and he would probably speak when he shouldn't have, but now he generally has a calmer heart, and he really listens well. But when I think of Josh, he reminds me of Jesus because he doesn't beat around the bush. He will tell you exactly what he's thinking, and you won't really try and sugarcoat it all that much. There's an example is that, I think it was like my sophomore year, there was a certain girl that I liked, and I'm a very impatient person generally when it comes to things, and especially that kind of thing. And I was telling Josh about this, and he was like, Steve, I'm going to tell you honestly, I think that you need to wait 6 months and pray about this because I don't think you're ready for to approach any kind of thing. I think that you need to take the time and really ask God what he thinks about it. And I was really bummed because that's like the last thing I wanted to hear Josh say. I wanted him to say, hey, Steve, go for it. But he kind of told me how it was and gave me the advice that he should. And there's an example. Lord bless you. You're welcome. Where's my Bible? Oh, it's right here. Right where I put it. But yeah, this is Matthew 15. This is just a really good example about how Jesus was a straight shooter. If you have a Bible and you want to crack it open, that's cool. I realize we don't always all bring a Bible, but this is Jesus. He's teaching about inner purity. It says, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to interview Jesus. Why do your disciples disobey our old age traditions, they demanded. They ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. Jesus replied back. He said, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks evil of father and mother must be put to death. But you say, you don't need to honor your parents by caring for their needs if you give the money to God instead. And so by your own tradition, you nullify the direct commandment of God. You hypocrites. Isaiah was prophesying about you, and he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings. Then Jesus called to the crowds and said, listen to what I say and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? But Jesus said back, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Then Peter asked Jesus, explain what you meant when you said to the people, when you said people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand, Jesus asked him? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and goes out of the body. But evil words come from an evil heart and defile the person who says them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, and all other sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands can never defile you and make you unacceptable to God. And so Jesus was very direct. He's straightforward. He kind of told the people how it is and what they needed to hear, and he didn't really beat around the bush. Basically, he was saying, you're so worried about the way you eat, but you're forgetting about the heart, which matters the most. And this reminds me of Josh. You know, Josh reminds me of Jesus just because he's a straight shooter. You know, I need guys like this in my life who are going to tell me how it is. The next guy is Dustin Balcom. He graduated from here from Radford with a Parks and Rec major. He's now a scuba diver. He has his own business called Underboats. He's a really cool guy. That's a couple pictures here. This is Dustin outside of the place where he's living for this past year. I guess it was Christmas time. I hope it wasn't Easter. But yeah, Dustin, this is the Dustin I remember from senior year. But Dustin is a guy who I would consider a man after God's own heart in many respects. He obviously isn't perfect, but he really does love the Lord with all of his heart. We got to know each other our junior year, and then our senior year, we were roommates in Madison Hall. It was really cool. I had the opportunity to be in Dustin's wedding, too. He'll be in mine. He's one of my groomsmen. You know, when you're roommates with somebody, you really get to know them a lot. You get to know about their habits, their faults, their strengths, and their heart. Dustin has one of the most genuine hearts, I think, of anybody that I've ever met. And he really wants to honor God in everything that he does. Anything with his computer usage, the time that he uses on there, the things that he's looking at. The television, our senior year, believe it or not, we did not have a television at all in our dorm room. Yes, you can live without it. And his fiance, he was engaged at that time. He was actually engaged for like 2.5 years or something like that. But he had this honeymoon jar. And the deal was is that you don't take anything out of the honeymoon jar unless you replace it. And so he was always like making exact change in this jar. And I was really impressed by his desire to honor God with the things that he was putting in and taking out of it. And even with his body, the things that he ate. I remember this one time where we were sitting in our room. We both had takeout, and he was eating tomatoes. And he popped one in his mouth, and he had like this, like, bitter kind of, you know how you get when you eat something that you really didn't want to. I said, Dustin, what are you doing? Don't you like tomatoes? He's like, no, I can't stand them. I said, well, why are you eating them then? He's like, well, they're good for you. It's like, okay, weirdo. And so now, like, that really got me on the track of eating tomatoes. I used to not like tomatoes. Now I do, thanks to Dustin Balcom. It's just really cool. He really has a heart to honor God. And one thing that's really cool about Dustin is that he is really honest before others and before God. He doesn't want to hide the struggles that he's got. Like, he's really open to telling you about them. You know, we were really open with each other about the struggles that we had. We'd talk about them daily. We would take time to pray together. And we would also take time to get to know our suite mates really well, because that is important. You know, if you're going to be living with these people, sharing a bathroom with them, then you really want to have a good impact on them, especially if you're walking with the Lord. Excuse me. But Dustin has inspired me to have a heart closer to that of God's. He's done this by showing me that we should follow God even when it's tough, and even when we don't want to do certain things like eating tomatoes. You know, that's honoring God by taking care of your body. And basically, he's just showed me that we need to be disciplined. And this reminds me a lot of Jesus, because Jesus did things that he didn't want to do, if you think about it. I mean, Jesus died on a cross. I wouldn't want to die on a cross. I don't know about y'all, that doesn't seem like a very comfortable thing. Now, obviously, dying on the cross was an easy thing for Jesus, but he didn't want to be there, but he did anyway. You know, right before Jesus was kind of taken by the guards, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says that while he was there, this is in Matthew 26, he was praying. He said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." Basically, he's saying, "God, I really, really don't want to do this. If there's any way that we can get around it, please make it happen." But then he says, "Yet I want your will, not mine." And, you know, Jesus knew what had to be done. You know, he was a very disciplined and dedicated individual to God. And he knew that no matter what it is that God had in store for him, that was what he was going to do. And Dustin, hey there, little guy. Dustin reminds me of Jesus in that way. And it's just exciting. There's nothing else up there. Okay. But, you know, we all have friends that help us know Jesus better, I think. You know, there's lots of people in our lives that can have a positive influence on us. And all of these three guys, they have a lot of things in common. They all have an amazing impact in my life. They all have a genuine interest in me and the things that I do. They all take time to really encourage me in my walk with God, and they all remind me of Jesus. You know, there comes a point in our lives where we have to flip the coin. You know, God calls us to know him. Yeah, obviously, we need to know Jesus, but he also says, "I want you to make me known." And, you know, there has to become a time in our lives where we become the Tom Fors, the Dustin Balcoms, the Josh Sextons, and other people's lives. You know, when Jesus called his first two disciples, Peter and Andrew, he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? They got up and they followed him. And basically, there's two parts of this. One is follow me. He's saying, come, be with me. Live by my example the best that you can. And then the second part is, I will make you fishers of men. He's saying, I want you to, and I will teach you how to tell others about me. There's two parts there. One, yes, I want you to know me. I want you to be with me. And then two, I want to teach you how to tell others about me, because that is the only way that the message of God is going to get across. Later, when he called Matthew, he said, come, be my disciple. And it says that Matthew just got up and followed him. I mean, how easy is that? Jesus had a very simple ministry. You know, he gave people an open invitation and they followed him. It's pretty simple. You know, we as Christians, we have a lot of fears nowadays. I think we think that if we invite people out to church, they're not going to want to come, or that they're going to think it was lame, or if they do come out, they're not really going to like it, and they're not going to talk to you all that much. And this causes us to take a different route than the one that God has called us to. You know, we'll steer away from God's desire for our lives. Jesus' example of ministry is one of simplicity. Even the way that he invited people to be his disciples, he was giving them an example for what to do. And a really good example of this is going back to Matthew. And this is Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to read this to you. Just listen to the example of what Jesus did, how he showed Matthew what to do, and then Matthew's reaction to it. It says, as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. Come, be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. That night, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. The Pharisees were indignant. These are like the really important religious leaders of the day. They were indignant. They said, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" they asked his disciples. When he heard this, Jesus replied, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. For I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough." Matthew took Jesus' example and lived it out within a few hours. I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, that day, Jesus said, "Come, follow me, be my disciple." Matthew did it, and then that night, he did the exact same thing. He said, "Come, I want to tell you about Jesus." That's pretty cool. You know, we not only have the free gift of knowing Jesus, but we also have the task of telling others about him. I mean, look around. There's lots of room. Like, we could put, like, three more rows back here in this room, and we could, all by inviting people. And this, inviting people doesn't mean just standing up in your class three times a day, proclaiming the gospel, holding your Bible in your hand. But it does mean taking the initiative to do what God calls us to do as Christians. And that includes a lot of different things, you know, like going up to people, your friends, and just telling them about your past, you know, how God has worked in your life. Spending good quality time with other people so that they can see Christ in you, just like these guys did with me. And then also inviting them out to different things like our Sunday service, inviting them out to here, inviting people out to home groups, saying, "Hey, you know, we got this really cool group. We do a lot of different things. And we really want to serve God and know him better." Just inviting them out to him, to that. And then also inviting people in your soul group. If you're here and you're in a soul group, why not bring more people into it? We've always got more room. If you're not in a soul group and you want to know more about it, just come up to me or Ryan or Todd and ask us more about it. We basically, what I'm saying is that we need to be like Matthew. We need to take the example that Jesus gives us and then work it out into our daily lives. Remember that verse that we read in the beginning, Matthew 5, 14 and 15. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all." We need to be the light that God has made us into. Think about how cool it would be if, like, you're talking to a group of your friends, or your friends are talking to their friends and saying, "Yeah, there was this person back when I was in college who really had a huge impact on me, and they helped me know Jesus better," all by simply inviting them out, using Jesus' example for the way that he's called us to. And all this happened just by knowing you. Think about how cool that would be. That's something I want you guys to think about for the next couple weeks. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for who you are and the fact that we have an opportunity to know you. Lord, I thank you for the example that you set for us too, that you said to your disciples, "Come, be my disciples," and they followed you. And then they turned around and did the exact same thing. Lord, would you give us a heart like that? Lord, would you give us boldness like that? God, we want to see your kingdom grow. Lord, we want to impact the people around us. God, would you help our hearts just to expand and allow more room for you, God? Lord, I pray that as this week goes on, that we would just take the time to think about what it means to know you and what it means, too, to be an example for you. God, there are people that see us, God. They see our heart. And if they know that we're walking with the Lord, then they see that, too. And I just pray that you would help us to have a heart that honors you, God, Lord, and that desires to know you better. Lord, help us to be the Tom Fords, the Dustin Balcombs, and the Josh Sextons, Lord, in other people's lives. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name.